Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be discussing some theology, specifically the theology of suffering. Wait a second, Andrew, I didn't know that that was theology. Well, sure it is. Suffering. Is that part of God's plan for our lives? Are we destined as believers to suffer? Is it God's will for his children to suffer? Is there, in the scripture, a theology of suffering? Yeah, this is a very hot topic. Because you've got people who are preaching, who call themselves Christians, yet do not, nor will not, teach a theology on suffering. In fact, what they teach is that it is God's will for you to be healthy and wealthy. It's God's will for you to constantly be blessed, not stressed. It is God's will for you to constantly be happy, to not experience any difficulties or challenges. And these people teach that if the people simply will sow a big enough seed of faith, that God will open up the portals of heaven and pour down such supernatural blessings on his people that they will never suffer. They'll be healthy and wealthy. And then, in order to really bamboozle people, and yes, I use the word bamboozle, these false teachers, and they are false teachers, they'll say, well, if you're not healthy and wealthy, that means you just haven't sown a big enough seed of faith. And therefore, the portals of heaven have not been opened to you. So what they do is they basically create a Ponzi scheme, these false teachers, lying to people and basically manipulating people to continue to give and give and give and give and give with the hope that God will open the portals of heaven, pour out blessings so that Christians never, ever have to suffer. I hope you do realize that is completely against the scriptures. And if you're listening to this show and you're caught up in that, well, hopefully you're going to learn something today so that you can be rescued from that. Those people are, who teach this, that false doctrine, those people are not Christians. They are false teachers, false prophets, and they're in it for the money to make themselves wealthy. Now, I know some of you may say, well, that's a little harsh. That comes across. Who are you to judge? Well, scripture is clear. I mean, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, you'll know false prophets by their fruit. And when someone is making promises about God that are nowhere written in the Word of God, well, that person's a false teacher, a false prophet. When someone claims to speak from God and inaccurately uses the Word of God or even doesn't at all use the Word of God, person's a false teacher. How do I know what God's will is for my life? It's revealed in God's Word. And so God's will never contradict God's Word, right? That makes sense. So when it comes to this idea of suffering, what does God's Word say about suffering? In particular, suffering for Christians. I mean, we know that suffering is in this world. Why? Because sin is in this world, right? And suffering and death and disease and things like that. Those things are the consequences of sin being in the world, right? So, suffering is going to come upon all people. non-believers and believers. In fact, Jesus made that very clear in John chapter 16, verse 33. He had been in the upper room with his disciples. He had already dismissed Judas to go start the betrayal. And Jesus had been preparing his 11 for what was going to happen to Jesus. He was also preparing them that he was going to not only be crucified and resurrected, but eventually he would ascend back up to heaven. He was leaving them alone. And he said, don't worry, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to send the helper, the promised Holy Spirit, who will not just be with you, but also in you. He will remind you of all the things that I taught you. The Holy Spirit would provide the inspiration to the apostles to be able to pen the pages of the New Testament scriptures. And as Jesus was coming to the conclusion of his night speaking with his 11, before he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and was going to be betrayed, Jesus makes this statement in John 16:33. He says, these things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. Well, Jesus, why do we need to have peace in you? Well, one of the reasons is this. Jesus said, in this world, you have tribulation. The Greek word, phlipsis. It literally means such overwhelming pain, stress, pressure that is crushing. By the way, who was Jesus speaking to here? His disciples. Did Jesus promise them health and wealth? Did Jesus promise them prosperity? No. Jesus said, here's what I promise you. In me, you'll have peace. Because in this world, you're going to have phlipsis. But Jesus said, take courage. I've overcome the world. Doesn't sound like Jesus is preaching, as a believer, don't worry, you're never going to suffer. Well, what did Jesus say to them? You're going to suffer. And we know what happened with the apostles, right? They were all martyred for their faith in Christ. The only one who wasn't, the apostle John, how was his life? Well, he ends up on the island of Patmos in exile, right? Exiled there. So we see not only the words of Christ when it comes to suffering, but we even see in the example of the apostles of Christ, their suffering. In fact, over in Philippians chapter 1, the apostle Paul makes a very, well, I don't know, I would say alarming, startling statement. Yeah, he talks about grace. And as Christians, we love the word grace, right? Obviously, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, right? We are saved not because of that which we can do through our own efforts, but we are saved because of Christ, the perfect God-man who fulfilled all righteousness in our place, the perfect God-man who was punished on the cross for our unrighteousness in our place, right? And that which Christ has done for us, his perfect righteousness is through his death, his resurrection, his paying for our sins in full, that righteousness has been credited to our account, right? And it's all by grace. But it's interesting, the Apostle Paul says something in chapter 1, verse 29. Not only are we saved by grace, right? He says, for to you, who's he talking to here? He's talking to the Christians in Philippi, a church he had planted on his second missionary journey, northern part of Greece, Macedonia. So he's talking to believers here. For to you, it has been granted, graced is the Greek word. It has been graced to you for Christ's sake. Number one, to believe in him. Well, stop. We like that as Christians, don't we? Right? Wow. And that means that God in his grace, before the foundation of time, chose you so that you could believe in him. That means that Christ, 2,000 years ago on the cross, redeemed you and paid for your sins because you're one of the chosen. And that means that God, the Holy Spirit, regenerates you. He regenerates those who have been elected and redeemed. Makes you alive. Even though you're dead, he makes you alive. Gives you the gift of faith to be able to repent of your sins and to place your full faith and trust in Christ alone. That is all a gift of God's grace. Would we agree with that? Election, redemption, regeneration. Sanctification, glorification too, right? So Paul says to the believers in Philippi, it has been granted or graced to you not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Whoa. You mean to tell me that just like my salvation has been foreordained, predestined by God, it has been granted, graced to me to be able to believe in Christ, You mean to tell me in like manner, suffering for me as a believer who believes in Christ has also been granted or graced to me? Yes. Wow. That pretty much destroys the health and wealth prosperity false gospel, doesn't it? Jesus says, look, here's the good news to me. You're going to have peace because in this world you're going to have flipsis, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Paul, oh, by the way, when Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, you guys know where he was? Prison in Rome, first Roman imprisonment. You think Paul understood the theology of suffering? Yeah, I'd say so. So he says to the believers, or guys, don't sweat it on my behalf. It's not that I've done anything wrong or God's mad at me. You know, yes, God does discipline us, and through discipline we will suffer and deal with things. But at the same time, suffering doesn't mean that God has forgotten us or God has abandoned us. Christian, Scripture's clear. Suffering has been graced to us. More on that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where today we are talking about theology of suffering. If you were with us on the first part of the show, you'll recall that we discussed how there's a major false teaching that is spreading throughout the world that says that God wants his children here on earth to always be healthy, to always be wealthy. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to have peace. And he never, ever wants you to struggle or suffer. Okay, then. Then why is it that as Christians we suffer, they'll say? Because you have not sown a large enough seed of faith, i.e. money. You haven't shown God your faith. Well, how am I going to show God my faith so I don't have to struggle or suffer? You need to invest, give, donate, tithe to our ministry. And if you give enough, well, as we stand in agreement, quote unquote, with you, guess what God's going to do? He's going to open the portals of heaven and he's going to pour out so many blessings upon you. You will be so healthy. You'll be so wealthy because it's God's will for you to never be sick, to never struggle, to never suffer. That is heretical false teaching that comes straight from the pit of hell. And if you were with us on the first part of the show, we took a look at John 16:33, the words of Jesus himself, what he was saying to his 11 disciples that night he was going to be betrayed. He said, guys, here's the good news. In me, you will have peace. And the reason why you're going to need peace is because in this world, you're going to have tribulation, flipsis, crushing, stressful, overwhelming trouble. These are the words of Jesus. He didn't preach a health and wealth prosperity gospel. He says, guys, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. You're going to suffer in this world. You're going to suffer for my name. But don't worry. I've overcome the world. It's not about your life, having your best life down here on earth. It's about having life with me throughout eternity, where there is no pain, no sorrow, no suffering. And then we took a look at Philippians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul, by the way, writing from his first Roman imprisonment, he wrote to believers in Philippi. Paul said, you have been granted the gift. You've been graced to be able to believe upon Christ and also to suffer for Christ. Paul says, suffering for Christ is a gift from Christ. What? Yeah, that's the theology of suffering. You mean to tell me, Andrew, that not only is my salvation a free gift from God, but the call to suffer as a Christian is actually gifted to me? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, it is very often through our suffering that two very important things happen. You're transformed more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. And number two, through your suffering, you're able to bring more and more glory to Christ. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, by the way, writing from his second Roman imprisonment, this time in the dungeon, where he was about to be beheaded by Nero. It doesn't sound like Paul was healthy and wealthy. Paul says something to Timothy, theology of suffering. Verse 12, he says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be prosperous, will be healthy and wealthy. That's not what he says. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Right? I mean, you see the theology of suffering? It's throughout Scripture. Ask Job. Ask Peter. Ask Paul. How about ask our Lord? And somehow, we as Christians, we get a free pass? No. God loves us so much, even more than he loved his beloved son, that we get a free pass? We don't need to struggle or suffer. We don't need to be sick. Why? Where does that arrogance come from that we are so special that God only wants to give us health and wealth? I'll tell you where it comes from. As I said earlier, the pit of hell. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was very concerned about the faith of this very young, yet very saved Thessalonian church. If you understand the context here, the Apostle Paul, on his second missionary journey, after he had planted a church in Philippi, he then went about 100 miles, again, northern part of Greece, Macedonia, about 100 miles, and he ended up in Thessalonica. He stayed there probably, we believe, anywhere from 4 to 6 months. A church had been planted there. But Paul had to leave Thessalonica forcibly. The Greek word that he uses, he said, I was taken away. It's a Greek word. He goes, I was orphaned forcibly against his will, taken away. This young church now suddenly doesn't have their pastor, Paul, the founding pastor. And so Paul eventually ends up all the way down in Corinth. He found out because he had dispatched his trusted co-laborer Timothy to go check on that Thessalonican church because it was killing Paul. He didn't know, was this church going to last? Because they were obviously being persecuted after Paul got kicked out of town. The opponents of Paul came against these Christians. They were young baby believers. And Paul had such intense suspense, worrying about their faith, that he said to them in chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left alone behind in Athens. And we sent Timothy, our brother and fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Why did they need to be strengthened and encouraged? So that none of you would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Now that's interesting. Paul didn't preach a health and wealth, suffering-free gospel. He said to them, guys, I'm so worried about you. That's why I sent Timothy to you. I wanted him to strengthen you and encourage you because I know that You're not only hearing that I'm suffering afflictions, Paul said, but you're also suffering afflictions, and you need to know we've been destined for this. He goes on to say, for indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. That's interesting. Paul said in advance to them, hey, just so you know, as a Christian, you're going to suffer. He didn't make false promises to them. He didn't tell them that life was going to be simple and smooth and God was just going to open up the portals of heaven and just bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you with everything you wanted. No, he says, we told you in advance, you are going to suffer. And he said, and so it came to pass, as you know. He said, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith. Here it is. For fear that the tempter, that's Satan, might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. What did Paul mean there? Well, in order to understand, we have to hop back up to verse 3. He said he was worried that they would not be disturbed, key word, by the afflictions that Paul had been dealing with and that they had been dealing with. The Greek word for disturbed is sanesthai. It literally means to be allured, beguiled, distracted. And it comes from the Greek idea of, think of a dog that wags its tail. Why does the dog wag its tail? The dog is trying to get your attention because the dog is trying to express something to you. So how does the dog distract you from that which you're focusing on to draw your attention to the dog? The tail, right? So Paul is saying here to these Thessalonian believers, the reason why I sent Timothy to you, I was worried that the tempter, Satan, was, quote unquote, wagging his tail and drawing your focus away from true faith in Christ, drawing your focus away from understanding as Christians we will suffer for Christ. And instead he was distracting you and drawing you over here where you are focusing on your afflictions to the point that you started to wonder, did we do something wrong? Is God punishing us? Has God forgotten, forsaken us? Did Paul preach to us a false gospel? What in the world is going on with us? Why are we suffering afflictions? Isn't that what Satan does? He likes to wag the tail so as to distract us as Christians from the true theology of suffering, that in this world we're going to have flipsis. In fact, as believers, it has been graced to us not only to believe in Christ, but to suffer for Christ. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. And Christian, you better be very careful. Satan can't force you to do anything. You remember, he's not God, he's not omniscient, he's not omnipotent, he's not omnipresent, but he's a distractor, he's a beguiler. He will try to allure your attention away, distract you by wagging the tail, to have you focus so much on your afflictions that you forget that God is sovereign over your afflictions. You do understand. Your deepest pain, your deepest suffering is always in the will of God. Let me repeat that. Your deepest pain, your deepest suffering is always in the will of God. And if God has graced to you a time of pain and suffering, he's done that to make you like Christ, and he's done that so you can bring glory to Christ. Look, if all of a sudden, you know, God chooses to bring to me a terminal disease, nothing whatsoever in my life here on earth changes. Other than it's going to be a lot more uncomfortable, a lot more painful, but nothing changes. The goal is still the same, to be like Christ and to bring glory to Christ. Whether I'm healthy or whether I have a terminal disease, the goal is always the same. To be conformed into the image of Christ and to bring glory to Christ. That is it. That's the theology of suffering. It's not about having our best life now here on earth. It is about getting prepared, becoming more like Christ, bringing glory to Christ in the power of the Spirit of Christ, so that when we're standing that day before Christ, we're in the perfect image and likeness of Christ. And we get to enjoy eternal life with Him forever. And those false teachers who are wagging the tail, because they're empowered by Satan, distracting people from this theology of suffering, they're causing people who will suffer to start questioning their faith. Did I not sow enough money? Is God mad at me? Am I really saved? Does God really exist? You see how devastating that false teaching is? Now just understand what Scripture says. And don't let the wagging tail of the tempter distract you and allure you to something false. That's the difference between us and non-believers. Non-believers have no answer for suffering. We as Christians have the answer. To make us like Christ, to bring glory to Christ. There's the answer. And if I know God's purpose in my suffering, if I understand the theology of suffering, okay. By God's grace, I'm going to deal with it for His glory. And so, Christian, if you're suffering right now, remember, the Bible talks about Christian suffering. It's a gift granted to us. And God's going to make you like Christ, Christian. And in doing so, you will bring glory and honor to Christ. May God bless you. Yes. Including in your suffering.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.